Herpes zoster, or HZ, is a reactivation of the varicella zoster virus, leading to a crop of blisters in a dermatomal distribution, as you see over here. Following the initial infection that causes varicella, VZV becomes latent in sensory nerve cells. Years to decades later, the VZV reactivates, and the virus spreads to skin through peripheral nerves, as shown in this cartoon over here. Chief clinical manifestation of zoster is the painful vesicular rash in a dermatomal pattern. The pain can be very severe and disabling. It can persist for months or years, in which case it's called postherpetic neuralgia, or PHN, and PHN can interfere with daily activities and can cause clinical depression. Pain is partially prevented with early antiviral treatment of zoster, but once the PHN develops, no consistently effective treatment is available. Ophthalmic zoster can also lead to serious complications of the eye. Okay, a little about the epi. The annual rate of zoster is about 4 per 1,000 per year. That's a million cases in the United States annually. Age-adjusted rates appear to be increasing, and that's going to be discussed by Jessica Leung in her talk. And the lifetime risk of developing zoster is about 30%. We don't know that much about the risk factors for zoster. What we do know is that age is a dominant risk factor that influences the zoster rates in the population. And furthermore, not only is age a risk factor for zoster, but of people that have zoster, age is an important risk factor for the further progression to PHN. So the rate of PHN in persons 50 and over is something like 10 times or more greater than persons 50 and under. And the other risk factor is immunosuppression. That's less common in the population, of course, but the magnitude of the effect in persons who are immunosuppressed is quite high, and so it does have a population impact, and the risk of hospitalizations for zoster in the immunosuppressed is even higher still. The reason for these as risk factors is presumably because they affect cell-mediated immunity, which checks the reactivation of the VZV and the development of zoster. There are other less established or lower magnitude risk factors for zoster that we do know about. They include gender, it's more common in women, race, it's more common in Caucasians, trauma, stress, family history, and VZV exposure. And we'll be talking about that one in more depth. Moving on to the zoster vaccine, the pivotal trial, the clinical trial for zoster vaccine was called the Shingles Prevention Study. It was done about 10 years ago. It showed that the vaccine was 51% efficacious against zoster and 67% efficacious against postherpetic neuralgia, but I'm showing these additional data here to show that the vaccine is progressively more effective at preventing the most severe end of, spectrum of the disease, the longest duration. Based on the data from this trial and other data, the CDC, the ACIP in 2006 recommended a single dose of the zoster vaccine for adults 60 and over, whether or not they reported a prior episode of zoster. And that's the thing that varies from the package insert that why I commented in the disclosure. The key contraindication for zoster vaccine is immunosuppression. There are many barriers to the zoster vaccine program, and Megan is going to be talking to many of those. The vaccine is very expensive. It retails at over $250 at my pharmacy. Storage and handling is an issue. It requires freezer storage, and many providers aren't set up for that. Medicare reimbursement, that for a person 65 and over, it's covered through Medicare Part D. And with all the barriers that Medicare introduces in that program, I'm convinced D stands for deter, discourage, or dissuade. The manufacturer has experienced repeated production problems leading to delays in vaccine orders, and because of that, the marketing has been minimal because they can't generate too much need for it while the supplies are not secure. Perhaps most importantly, adult vaccines have never mustered the kind of interest and energy that vaccines for other age cohorts. Because of all of that, vaccine uptake in the 2008 National Health Interview Survey was about 7% in persons 16 over.